Most associations in their mission is something about changing the world, healing the world, helping the world. And so you get to be a part of that.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of the new season of the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. We are kicking off our second season with an unforgettable guest. Today, we're speaking with the inspiring Artesia Moore, CAE and President and CEO of the Association Forum. Artesia's work is mission-focused and heart-driven. We'll be speaking with Artesia about her leadership philosophy, how to encourage innovation, and the importance of empowering others. We'll also get to hear about what inspires her, from comic books to Fred Astaire and everything in between. Artesia brings a special energy to every conversation she has, and you're about to hear why. So let's dive right in. Artesia, it's so great to have you. Welcome to the Association Advisor Podcast.
Yay! I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started by letting our listeners know a little bit more about you. You have over two decades of experience working in the association space, including your current role as CEO at the Association Forum. Tell us how you got into this line of work.
So, like most association executives, I stumbled in. I needed a job. And so I'm from Washington, D.C. originally. I'm in Chicago now. And I learned how to type and make SQL databases. So I worked at a not-for-profit, which was an adoption agency. I was an admin staff. I was an executive assistant. And I built databases. And my first kind of, okay, I don't want to be on the front desk anymore. Let me see what I can take the skill. I got a job as a membership manager for an association that I didn't even know that this was an industry. So stumbling in, I just had technical ability. I was smart and I was curious and I needed to work and pay my rent. And I found an industry that actually changed my life. So I'm excited that I fell into it and I'm here, but it was by accident purely.
And Artesia, you know, what's interesting is you said one of the magic words, curiosity. A lot of successful women, leaders, any gender, one of the key characteristics is being curious, right? Because curiosity welcomes you to learn more. And I have found that curious people definitely do well in life. So I love that. Always be curious is what I say. You know, a lot of people say what you did, which is they've stumbled into this line of work. So tell me though, what I find is most people stay because there's a lot of excitement and purpose in the world of association. Tell us what personally motivated you and excites you about why you choose to stay in this line of work.
It's the people for me. One of my professional strengths is called woo. It's like a people magic. And for me, it's a beautiful, unique mix of people, good, great challenges, not like how do we get more bottom line, but really most associations in their mission is something about changing the world, healing the world, helping the world. And so you get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of generational knowledge exchange. And I didn't know that word when I started my career, but that's where I love now. That stickiness of bringing, helping a new generation come into an industry or workforce, cultivating those that are staying in, and then that kind of older generations now that have so much to give back. So for me, for the last 27 years, this work, the stickiness is the people and the interesting, big, sticky challenges that we get to work on.
I love that. So Artesia, let's go back to the beginning. You talked at the beginning of this conversation about data, and you're also known for aligning data, technology, and people in a way that brings about positive change for associations. So tell us a little bit more about the role you see data and technology playing with the future of associations.
Yeah, you know, Christine, it's interesting. When I was thinking about that and you were talking, I thought, I'm going to make my name, AKA the Data Queen.
Yeah, I love
that. Not around databases, but really around this transforming part of information. So for me, data without context is nothing, right? It's noise. And what I've been able to do, not just how many members do we have and this, that, but really being able to put these information nuggets together to lead to predictive. Where are they coming from? Where are they going? What do they need? What can we get to? So in the last 15 years, I've talked a lot about how to integrate data. You've got a lot of different data warehouses, systems, buckets, all of these beautiful things. Most associations don't know what that is, especially when you get into the C-suite level.
Yeah.
They're not understanding about the power of it. So for me, I love the kind of investigative piece that data kind of gives you. People are scared of it because they think it's very techie. Right. They think it's very technology driven.
Yeah. And, you know, you touch on an important point because there's lots of data out there and there's warehouses and all this information that can seem overwhelming. But especially in the C-suite, when we think about it, what we care about is the story that it's telling us and the insights, you know, and if you can approach it that way, I think it becomes more manageable to look at it in a different way. So I'm glad you are shedding light on that and using your own experience and knowledge of that to help it bring information forward for associations. So let's jump to a different topic. Every year you host a holiday showcase and it gives your members. Yay. I have to make sure it's on my calendar this year. So
you better be there, Christine.
When is it? What's the date?
It is on December 3rd and 4th here in Chicago. And for those that are not from Chicago, December is beautiful. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Come to Chicago.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what that does for members and the value and why you do the holiday showcase.
You know, the holiday showcase has been around for 36 years. This year, really the 36th year. Last year, we did something that a lot of associations are doing. For us, it was a little bit unnerving, but we completely reconstructed an event under the tent of an old event, meaning we totally rebuilt holiday showcase from the inside out with a small staff, a great volunteers and a great board. Went from a meeting planner event, come submit proposals to different destinations, to a real true conference for us. I am a technologist. I'm not a meetings person. And so my very first holiday showcase, I love the content of the people, but I, you know, I'm not in meeting space. As we start to look at other things, technology and membership and all of that. So it's still a home for meeting professionals to come get with connections. But now we're bringing technology, Naylor's there, right? Solutions for those things. We're bringing top speakers that are coming, but we're keeping and bringing that kind of level of content here in Chicago. All are welcome. I'm a CAE. I'm a fellow. I need continuing education credits too. But it is something special about the community buzz here. We talked recently, someone came up to me after an event that we did earlier in the year, the Women's Executive Forum. That was about 7 months ago. And I met someone last weekend who attended, and she's still buzzing about it. That was the same for Holiday Showcase. So this year is amplified. We're looking to really ramp up. But one thing that is consistent for us, we want information that people can use right away. I've been to a lot of conferences, a lot of sessions, right? There's big thought leaders like, how am I going to do an Elon Musk in my office? Right. That's not going to work. We only really make things that are accessible to all. Most associations are small, small staff, really strappy. And so they need partners like a Naylor, partners like an association forum and awareness, but not something that's going to overstrip their capacity.
Absolutely. You know, and you touched on something important when you started it, is that you're a technologist. But it's people and technology working together that has amazing outcomes. So I love that you're advocating for that. And that's part of the changes you're seeing at the Holiday Showcase. And I'm looking forward to putting it on my calendar and being there. So, you know, another thing you and I have spoken about, too, is you've overseen several turnarounds, both of organization and brand. So tell us what that process has been like for you and what you've learned from it.
It's not for the weak of heart, I will tell you that. For those listening, Christine, you better laugh, girl. It's not for the weak of heart. Let's say this. You have to have an extreme passion to lead a turnaround, period. You've got to be able to have resilience that you didn't even know existed. But part of a thing in the turnaround is you can't be married to the solutions of old. Because I am always leaning forward, futures, I love foresight, I love technology, I'm an old head too, I love old school things, but I'm always curious, questioning, why does that work? Who cares about that? Why do they do this? Well, who does that? The other question that we association folks don't ask enough of is, where's the future going? Not where do we want to be in the future? Those are two different questions. Where's the future going is different than where do we want to be in the future? We spend a lot of time, again, I'm speaking to my peers, we spend a lot of time talking about where we want to be and not enough time thinking about where the future is going. So for instance, COVID had been predicted, not COVID, the disease itself, the national, global, international pandemic of it. I worked at an organization for 40 years that had been trying to tell associations about it. You know what I mean? So as we look at that right now, I just was at lunch with someone and we were talking about who are our competitors. And the word that I said, none of my peers are talking about enough. It's Coursera. I love Coursera. I'm a technologist. Yeah. They enabled many people to go from their mom's couch to work and feed their families. Associations do certificates and certification. We do a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it enough. Where the future is going, not where we want to go. So I think for us, there's opportunity, but it's scary. And turnarounds are about predicting the future a little bit and then saying, hey, that was wrong, and quickly going in another direction. So what I've learned from it, I will say, is a personal resilience. I am beautifully curious and I try to get smart about things. I read incessantly, right? I'm doing these things. I actually, in this role, had to open up my Eastern religion and philosophy bag, reach out to peers like you, Christine, and others. I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I made a lot of maybe bad choices. I thought it was going to be like, hey, just do this and that. Yeah, that didn't work. And so I think right now this has been a journey of a lifetime. It's not for everybody, but it's the best thing that I could have ever done for my whole self, my life. And I hope my team is excited too, because we are really moving in the right direction.
And you touched on a couple of really important things. I love the statement, if I didn't get it wrong, correct me. It's, you're not married to solutions of the old, right? And I think that's so important. The other thing is about the future, because what I always say when we're thinking about a competitive analysis, typically we think about who are we competing with, but we don't think about who might we competing with that we don't even know exists, right? So if you think about, one of my favorite case studies is Netflix. Blockbuster never thought of Netflix, right? And look at Blockbuster doesn't even exist now, right? And they had tried to do an acquisition and was like, no, that's not our competitor. So I think you're right in saying that you have to really trying to be innovative and think about things you're not even thinking about yet, right? And have the space to do that. So, and I love your humbleness about saying, hey, you cried, right? It's okay. Like it can be tough and you got to give yourself some grace sometimes. So I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk a little bit more about you. So ASAE has named you Diversity Executive Leadership Program Scholar. So there's a lot going on about these types of initiatives all over, as you know. There is everything from progress to lashback and everything in between. So tell me, how do you think we're doing it as an industry when it comes to elevating diverse voices?
You know, I will say this. It's interesting. This year at ASAE's annual meeting, I definitely felt like I was an auntie now. I remember when I was a young whippersnapper coming into the DELP in 2010 and the positioning of that program and really what that meant. We are in a place of really extreme backlash right now. And that's the truth of it. A lot of the funding that came from DE&I over NA accessibility over the last 4 or 5 years really came from the federal government. So when the government shifted their focus away, you know, and funding and those things, people are struggling. I recently did an article interview with one of our board chairs for Forbes magazine. Our industry has been doing this for 30 years. So we got to zoom back out and say, what were some of the great initiatives that were started? 30 years ago, it wasn't like there wasn't backlash.
Right.
I mean, I'm a Black woman from a Southern descent in America, and I'm a technologist. You know what I didn't have a lot of? Other Black women.
The peers.
Come on, honey. Right. Come on. Christine and you and I talked about this. So there is something. I'm not going to discount that. I also think that there's lots of opportunities. So let me talk about one that I think about. And if you have an opportunity to get anyone from this group on your podcast, please do. Their name is Association Latinos.
Oh, I will.
They make my mind just itchy in a beautiful way. And the reason why is because they did it their own way. They went from a subgroup of a committee at the forum to the UN and their leaders at the UN in 18 months. They had a hyper focus on what it is that they wanted to do, and they didn't hear no. They didn't hear stop. And because they are part of beautifully benefiting from the gig economy, they don't need us. So every time I give them an opportunity, if they come to at the forum to do something, you are the future.
Yeah.
How many of us now in the space? Yes, there needs to be a backlash to the backlash, but after 30 years, this isn't the first time.
Yeah.
So there's opportunity in this. I'm not talking about a website in this, I'm talking about Patreon. You can start your own organization, have your own funding streams, be able to have like-minded people, have a message and a platform. So I think that there's opportunity, but we have to be real. There's a lot going on right now. There's a lot at stake, not today, for the last 5 years. So I want to widen out past the pandemic. It really started to shift in 2018. And so right now I see it as a mixed bag. I'm a dystopian future girl. So there's a lot of, I'm going to be Tina Turner into Mad Max Thunderdome kind of thing. But I do have optimism, especially in the people that are really resourceful and aligned with their values.
It's interesting, you know, when you talk about the lashback, because it is crazy. Like just recently I had somebody say to me, oh, all Christine cares about is empowering women. It's like, is that all you think I am? Like,
I've got so many different things. Just,
yeah. Like, wow. But you know, we can't let the lashback hold us back.
No.
It opens up conversations and opportunities, and we have to stay focused on that. So, but thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about our podcast right now. Is our theme so far for this season is leadership. So we couldn't think of a more remarkable person to kick off season two with is leadership. So tell us a little bit more about your leadership style.
I'm going to tell you all, at first, Christine, you met me, so you know me. I tend to keep it real, so I'm just going to be me, who I am. Recently, I've said I've gotten my stuff down to my leadership style is me wholly and authentically. I have a tattoo from my executive coach work, and what we work through is that I'm unique beautifully. I've been this kind of unicorn in my mind that was a math lead, but also a party girl that also did these things and hyper-focused on business. Right now, I would say my leadership style is I'm a hip hop Buddhist ninja. And let me explain that.
I like that.
As a child of hip hop, it was the music of my struggle. I'm a child of the 70s and grew up in the 80s, and there was a lot going on. And that music resonated what our struggle was and what it was out there. And for a long part of my life, it was a hidden joy. An American treasure, but you couldn't say it in corporate sense. I've been senior staff since I was 27 years old. There were times that I went to shows or music or this, and I couldn't say those things. So embracing those identity piece, I think it's important. What I bring to my leadership is this real ruggedness, this kind of get in it and grind until you make it kind of thing. Being in a small business and driving a turnaround, as I mentioned, it takes a different energy. I think growing up in the rebel struggle music and whatever that is for you, whether it was reggae, like my dad's in them, right? Rock, I'm a rock girl now. Let's talk about Led Zeppelin, right? So I, you know, just all over the place. But I think that's the first part. The second part is in this job, remember the tears I said?
Yeah.
I went back to my Buddhist training and practice. I've started opening up to my chakras and really kind of aligning to it. My staff, I do a woo-woo meditation before our budget meetings. I tend to be very aggressive, the hip-hop part, but opening up to acceptance, letting go, allowance, being okay with not knowing, being okay with being wrong. All of those things. I studied Eastern religion and philosophy when I was in college. They've gotten me through in the last 2.5 years, and it's been wonderful. The ninja part is that I'm going to move stealth. Always.
I'm always
looking for where we're going. I'm not interested in doing something better that already is done. The beauty of our industry is that we're so interconnected. I was making moves in DC, but people in Chicago were talking about me. They reached out to me, right? Like I didn't know about this job at all. So I think that there's this piece we're going to move stealth. I'm always looking for other industries. Right now, we have partnerships with for-profit. We have partnerships with Northwestern University and Collegiate. We have partnerships with all, because maybe I'm just curious. But as I said, where's the future going, not where we want to go?
And, you know, Artisha, I think using authentic is so important, because there was a long time in corporate America association space where you had to be a cookie cutter of what you thought everyone wanted you to be. I mean,
yeah.
And now today to see that you're talking openly about everything from Buddhism to meditation. And, you know, recent articles and research has demonstrated that leaders that lean into that, put self-care, empathy, those qualities and characteristics are going to do a lot better than that cookie cutter mm-hmm. approach. So I love that. You know, I think it's amazing.
Well, and Christine, I will say this for us too. We are of a different generation when we paid our dues, honey. I remember being in places where we couldn't wear clothes, open-toed shoes. I couldn't wear skirts. We had to wear pants.
Yes.
Like it, just the various things. I was one of the first early women in IT. There was a lot of things in that space in the beginning. IT engineers tend to be, engineers in general, tend to be very brash, especially when they're dealing with a lot of boys and you walk in and they said things that were uncomfortable for us. And we had to deal with it. We couldn't even speak up. So now I do really say both. It's a different space, not where we are today in 2024. It changed in 2020. I still was wearing slacks up until the pandemic. I remember when I told my boss, okay, so when I do come back, I haven't worn shoes in 9 months. So I'm not going to be wearing no dress shoes no more. I'm just going to let you know that, right? Like it's over.
Yeah.
So I do think it's important for us now. We've paid dues, but now we make space for them to show up fully. It's still scary. It's still scary. As I get older, it's my job to make it so that these babies can show up, whoever, however they are.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And it touches on my next question is, you put a lot into mentoring the next generation. So tell us a little bit about how you do that, the qualities you think are essential for future association leaders, and also how we can help them show up authentically and excel as leaders in this space.
The first part of that question is hard for me because I don't think about what qualities they are.
Okay.
No one would have been in that cookie cutter part. Nobody could have told me when I was going through these things and getting my CAE and becoming all of those senior staff, what it was for me to get there is not what it's taking for me to stay here. In the age of AI, I'm reading this fantastic book right now called Nexus, and it's the history of information from Stone Age to AI. Fascinating. Uh-huh. It's called Nexus. Get it, y'all. Here's the thing. I don't know where we're going yet. So I don't know what qualities are going to be there. Association Forum just released our essential skills, workforce skills for the different career stages, C-suite, middle management, functional experts and specialists. What the skills are for the future that we're going to need are things like applied curiosity, agile mm-hmm. thinking and design. But what we say we need are things like strategic planning. I'm not saying that we don't need strategic plans. I'm just saying that associations have spent 40 years beating that drum, and we're not talking enough about applied curiosity. Boards aren't curious.
You know what? I love that, because if you just hearing you say that makes me think of all the job descriptions, even that we put out there, and it'd be like, you must be strategic. Da, da, da. Well, yes, but there are new skills and different skills.
Exactly.
Even these kids coming out of school, how they learn today and the skills that they need to be successful today are so different than when you and I were going through that.
Exactly. So it's hard for me to say that piece around that. I do a lot of give back. I'm the queen of the new power generation. Whatever y'all want to do, I'm here to do it with y'all. Here's what I also look at. I look at a relationship versus a pouring into. I don't believe in giving advice. Everybody who is hearing this right now is saying, that's a lie. She gave me some advice last week. I don't believe in giving advice. Here's what I believe in. Tell me what you want to do. Where do you want to go? I can tell you some ways that I think can help you get more curious about other ways to go, right?
Yeah.
When I do have mentees, and shout out to my little Avengers out here and little mentees, I tell them the other part. I need help too.
Yeah.
So if it's a relationship, can I call on you too? Because I don't want to pontificate. I can, but I don't want to do that. I want to learn from you. These beautiful people, here's the thing that they don't have. I have a level of anxiety in my spirit. That comes from being a child of the 70s. Child, I don't know what it is. It does. We only had a few channels. I don't know. But I have that in my spirit. There are times that I show up and I remember that I'm a girl or whatever that stupid stuff that was programmed into us, right? They don't all have that. So some of them are so self-assured that they come into a meeting and they say something out loud that I wouldn't say for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, did you ask for that? So I ask now, not about stupid things like technology. I can figure it out. Google it, YouTube it. They'll tell you how to do it. I ask them other things. Where do you see yourself going? What do you really like? Do you even like database or whatever? And so I think that that's the place of relationship. If they want advice, I tell them the truth. Life is hard. It sucks. You're going to fail. Go off and do beautiful things. Stop worrying about it.
You know, what I've learned too is you got to learn to fail fast. Like, don't get hung up on, all right, I thought this was going to work. If it doesn't, just call it and move on. Fail fast and move on.
I told my staff 2 weeks ago, and one of the junior staff was, she scoffed like, oh, really? I probably fail about, I don't know, 60% of the time. The way I said it so fluently, she was like, are you serious? You're a CEO. Child, yes. Because if I'm not doing that, I'm not trying enough stuff.
Exactly. You're not supposed to get it all perfect. Think about how many attempts it took to learn how to fly a plane or to, you know, electricity, et cetera. There's so many failures before there's success. So.
How many frogs did I kiss before I met my prince?
Exactly.
Come on. So I had fun, but fail a lot. And then I've just started painting recently. I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible. And I just love it. Every weekend I put up my little stuff and I'm Bob Ross out here and I'm doing it.
That's awesome. I love it. You know, Artisha, this has been such a great conversation and I knew it would be. What I'd love to close by is your recommended reading. Maybe it's your AI book, but let's talk about what you recommend.
Right now I do a lot. I listen to a lot of audio books, but I've been into a fantastic comic books. So I'm just going to say this for those, have fun with your reading too. Yes. If you like a smutty romance, do it. Right. For me right now, because my mind is going in so many different directions, it's hard for me to pin down. Comic books, I like Marvel, but I also like DC Comics too, are helpful for me. Now, for any of the sci-fi folks out there, if you're ready to get your mind wrecked, one of my good peers, Lowell Applebaum, had recommended this to me this summer and it blew my mind. It's called Quality Land.
Quality Land.
It's called Quality Land, and it is take where we are in the U.S. with AI, with social media, with all those things, and advance it like 50 years.
Oh, I love that.
On this track. It is so freaky, scary, got your mind thinking. When I told my mom, she said, I don't want that, but I don't want that. That's the devil. But I think for me, it's on the verge of things that we need to start thinking about.
Yeah,
it's fiction. I love sci-fi. But for any of those that want to reach out to me on the socials or whatever, recommend something fun. But I also like a good biography. So read something fun, read something that makes you think. And then also check out Nexus. Nexus, for any of us that are in this space, I know Naylor and the conversations we've had around data and some of those things and where you want to go with it. I think Nexus, Christine, you may really, really get into it. Right now, it's blowing my mind.
I'm definitely going to put that on my list. Thank you so much. This was great. And a couple things now that I want to do. One is make sure that I'm at the holiday showcase.
Yay!
And I don't know why, but I want to meet your mom. I hope I get the chance to.
Well, I'm trying to plan some things. So also come to holiday showcase in December. And for all the women who are listening, we are expanding Women's Executive Forum. Women's Executive Forum is a total vibe. And it is in March. Our theme is unstoppable. So,
oh, I love that.
Absolutely. We're owning it. We're leaning into it. We're empowered. We're fearless. But we also need each other. So last year, we opened our banner to not just in the traditional sense. It is non-binary. It is trans. It is anyone who's an advocate or an ally. But really, it is the power of women together and coming together and being unstoppable. This is our also event that reaches outside of associations. So there's women from all backgrounds that were coming. It is in Chicago. It's on March 7th. If you're a woman, if you're an ally, if you're non-binary, if you don't identify, please come because we are trying to bring more women. How do we just support each other as we move into our future?
That's amazing. And for someone who was just accused of only empowering women, I will be there.
Yeah, be there. So look, we have events for all, and the fellows can come through as well. But there are spaces. I'm a woman in America. There are spaces that we still are struggle. I mean, when you look at the data and statistics around our profession and the leadership ranks of the big associations or the big money makers, it's not a lot of us that are in that space. It's not a lot of people of color, right? It's not, and I'm not saying individualistic and checking off boxes. I'm just saying it makes a more diverse community industry, and we thrive in the future the more we come from different angles.
I agree. Thank you so much. This was great. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in the near future, Tisha.
Thank you. This is fantastic, Christine. I love it. And then, whenever you want part two, call me. Let's talk.
I will. All right. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at Christine, christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.